All right, our next guest just penned a very interesting paper on the U.S. dollar. Of note, DoubleLine portfolio manager Bill Campbell says the end of dollar supremacy is underway. Bill Campbell joins us now. Bill, nice to see you. Really enjoyed this paper, and we'll get to it in a second. But you just heard Emily talk about just this persistently hot inflation data. What do you think that means to the dollar moving forward?
Well, I think the inflation data can't be ignored anymore. And central banks, not only in the US, but globally, are moving quickly to try to address the persistently high inflation that has pretty much caught all policymakers by surprise. So earlier today, and pretty much for the past couple of weeks, the discussion in the US has been, is a tight labor market and high prices going to actually accelerate the pace of tapering? When we look across the globe, high and surprising inflation prints have been forcing central banks to already remove accommodation and in a lot of cases already start hiking interest rates. Now, the inflation the inflation problem right now, I think needs to be put into the context of growth. Not only is a tightening global central bank policy stance starting to weigh on global growth, but you know, tighter inflation or higher inflation is squeezing margins and is squeezing companies, as you pointed to just a couple of minutes ago, which also hurts the future growth outlook. So in the very near term, we're looking at inflation being a growth headwind. We're also looking at rising COVID cases in Europe being a headwind to growth as well. And we're seeing tightening regulation and slowing credit in China being a third headwind to growth. And to come back around to answer your question specifically, all three of those are combining to, at least for the near term, keep the dollar relatively supported compared to other currencies. But on a structural basis, our view is much different. We do think that, and maybe we can get into this in a second, that over the coming, next year to 2 years, the dollar, as far as, being the, linchpin to global trade and the key currency for all commodity trade and global trade, is likely to start to erode, given a lot of the changes that we're seeing, not only in, the trade landscape, but also what we're seeing in the development of blockchain, cryptocurrency, and central bank digital currencies.
Hey, Bill, it's Julie here. So as we look at that perhaps changing outlook for the dollar, I feel like I've heard this before, right? And not necessarily with regards to things like blockchain, but in other words, I've heard before, for example, oh, the Chinese are going to get rid of their U.S. treasuries or really work down their holdings and things along those lines. That stuff has not really materialized. So I wonder what's going to be the tipping point in your view?
Oh, it's a great question. And I think there's a big difference between what's happening now versus what's happened in the past and the discussions in the past with, potentially China being the biggest, new world reserve currency. So first of all, I'm not calling for one single reserve currency to take the place of the dollar. I think that in the case of China, there were a lot of questions about institutional strength and would global savings be comfortable sitting in a Chinese market where maybe the legal and regulatory framework isn't as worked out as it is in the West. What I think is likely to happen is with the US stepping back and with the increase of central bank digital currency technologies, we're seeing the Bank of International Settlements try to coordinate research and development by global central banks to put in a new plumbing or a new payment global payment system. We're also seeing a proliferation of regional trade agreements. The OECD and the WTO say that regional trade agreements are over 300 to date and are still growing. And this has been an accelerating pace. So what I think is going to happen is right now, a lot of international settlement, 85% of SWIFT settlement is actually US dollar based. And a lot of international settlement suffers from, latency problems. It takes, several days to, transact. You have, expense problems. These, I think, will start to be addressed with blockchain technology, whether it's you know, on the private side through stablecoins, or on the public side through CBDC and interlinked payment systems. And then when you look at these regional trade agreements, or each country looking at who their trading partners actually are, does it make sense to take a third party currency like the dollar and try to use that as the intermediary for trade between Australia and Singapore, for example? Or would it make more sense for Australia and Singapore to just transact on a bilateral basis? As that, I believe the latter is the case. And I believe that we'll start to see more global central banks settle a lot of their domestic and or their specific trade on a bilateral basis, and removing the dollar, you know, from those settlements. What that'll do is it'll remove the dollar from the reserve currency that the base that it currently has, because the dollar is about 60% of total central bank global reserves. The U.S. economy is only 16% of the global economy. China is only 18% of the global economy. I don't think it makes sense for, you know, central banks to keep a reserve of any single currency above that 50% mark. So on a structural basis, I think that, you know, we're starting to see a move to this multipolar system that is going to be, you know, initially slow, but will eventually lead to a new structure of global payments and of reserve currency accumulation by central banks, which is specifically different than saying we're going to move from, you know, the dollar being replaced by, you know, the Chinese yuan, as the dollar replaced the British pound. I think system is going to be different.
Bill, all of what you're saying sort of seems to make logical sense. And I take your point about China not necessarily being the alternative, right? But I guess I struggle with psychology and its role in all of this. And I mean, this is really a profound shift that you're talking about. And you talk about sort of lack of comfort with China as the reserve currency because of its regulatory regime there. I wonder, though, about a lack of comfort with a wholesale reworking of the global financial system.
It's already underway. So Project Dunbar has, which is a project that's been initiated by the BIS, is connecting Asian central banks from Australia to Malaysia. It actually even includes the Reserve Bank of Australia. And they're developing a multinational payment system via the CBDC channel. We have already seen that the regional trade agreements in Europe, from RCEP to CPTPP and many others, have picked up. We've also seen that China has been doing a lot of bilateral settlement for commodities that they're picking up. And we've seen the dollar slowly starting to, you know, erode from the extremely overheld levels that it has been in global reserve currency stocks to, you know, now it's about 60%. I think we're starting to see the cracks in the iceberg. And I think it's a natural flow. If you start to say that the U.S. is stepping back from underwriting all global trade and global order, and we're going to start to see a lot more, you know, regional based trade and regional, focused partnerships. I think that this is just a natural outcome of, what has started on the margin. And then one final point, when we look at the global savings in the U.S., it's very large. Like the U.S. net international investment position is $14 trillion. That's up from $4 trillion in 2008. But what does that actually mean? The U.S. has underwritten global consumption for, you know, decades. Basically, the U.S. consumes, we buy goods, we give dollars to, foreigners. And what has happened is most of those dollars have been recycled back into the U.S. with purchases of stocks, bonds, and other U.S. assets. Well, if we start to see a little bit of an erosion in the dollar, and we start to say, foreigners may start to say, if global central banks are not recycling dollars, trade dollars back into the U.S. dollar, and if we see a little bit of repatriation, I think that, you know, the potential for a larger unwind is actually there, that the global savings that sits in the U.S. is pretty much at its limit. And, you know, as we move forward and as opportunities arise globally, and, you know, especially due to new regional trade agreements, we could see some of those dollars be sold and brought back into different regions of the world. And that would also, I think, accelerate, you know, a structural downward move in the dollar. So I think that, you know, there are a lot of items that, you know, are just kind of waiting, you know, to be tipped over. And I think that potentially the catalyst here is sure. the new, you know, CBDC and blockchain technology that is allowing, you know, much more global trade and global interaction to happen at a quicker pace and at a cheaper cost.
Points well taken. Double Line Global Bond Strategy Portfolio Manager Bill Campbell, good to see you. Really interesting insights. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks, guys.